This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. It's the 28th of May, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson join me. They've got the news today, including the milk and the two-time Indy 500 champion, and a new bill addressing digital commodities. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has lingering clouds, maybe some northern Indiana rains today. And we have a look back at Friday when the ag markets last traded and what to look for this week with Brian Basting commentary on the Hat Tuesday podcast. Brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
A dream come true, and what regulating Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies might mean for ag. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today.
It's such a great tradition here, and you know, to be honored to be that guy in front of this amount of people around this racetrack would be incredible. I don't think you can really describe it.
Well, you can now. That's back-to-back Indy 500 champion Joseph Newgarden 12 years ago speaking with our Andy Eubank after receiving his fastest rookie award at the track from the American Dairy Association Indiana. Newgarden accepted his bottle of whole milk from Indiana dairy farmer Alex Neuenschwander, co-owner of New Hope Dairy in Bluffton, after passing Pato Award on the final lap of the rain-delayed Indy 500 Sunday night. 8 years after he did that interview with Andy, he joined us again at the Fastest Rookie Award presentation and was still in search of that first Indy 500 win, but his love of milk kept him close with the dairy folks. He and I shared this conversation then.
If you're running the Indianapolis 500, you think about winning the milk at the end of the day. Obviously, the BorgWarner Trophy, which is the famous trophy of the Indianapolis 500 with everybody's faces on it, that's a very cool deal. But, you know, the traditions are what make the Indy 500 what it is. And you automatically think of the winner drinking that jug of milk, which is so cool, you know, just to be able to have a sip of that, pour it all over you. The iconic images that have been created at the Indianapolis 500 because of that tradition.
Newgarden has great respect for Indiana and U.S. dairy farmers. Ahead of last year's win, he visited the dairy farm of Cary Estes in Shelby County. Newgarden was then very happy to see Estes with that bottle of milk in Victory Circle at the end of last year's race.
The dairy farmers absolutely worked their butts off, you know, to try and produce the necessary milk that we all need in society to, you know, to keep our lives moving forward and to provide the nutritious milk that people drink every day or use every day in food. But obviously for us, you know, we're very thankful to that group for honoring this tradition of the 500 and providing, you know, that tasty milk at the end of the race if you're hopefully the lucky winner. So thanks to all of the dairy farmers in the United States and certainly the Dairy Association of Indiana.
Newgarden will receive $10,000 from the American Dairy Association Indiana, in addition to his other winnings from the race. Lawmakers in the U.S. House passed a bill last week to further regulate digital assets, including Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Sabrina Halverson explains what that bill might mean for the ag industry.
The U.S. House of Representatives passed H.R. 4763, the Financial Innovation and Technology for the 21st Century Act, known as FIT 21. It establishes federal requirements over digital asset markets and provides the Commodity Futures Trading Commission with new jurisdiction over digital commodities. It also clarifies the Security and Exchange Commission's jurisdiction over digital assets that are offered as part of an investment contract. The bill creates a process to permit the secondary market trading of those digital commodities if they are part of an investment contract. FIT 21 requires customer disclosure, asset safeguarding, and operational requirements on all entities that must register with either of the commissions. House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson says the bill underscores the Agriculture Committee's efforts to establish a regulatory framework. Thompson was one of the representatives to introduce the bill last year. He spoke in favor of it before the vote.
The current process to determine if a digital asset is a security or not is unclear, unworkable, and impractical. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission lacks essential regulatory authority over retailing intermediaries in the digital commodity spot market. The treatment of customer assets held by intermediaries needs to be strengthened.
Representative Maxine Waters of California was one of the lawmakers to speak against the bill.
I have serious concerns about the loss of protections for consumers and investors. The CFTC is generally designed to deal with sophisticated institutional investors and traders. It doesn't have the same kind of protections that the SEC has for retail investors and consumers.
It passed 279 to 136, with all but three Republicans voting in favor. FIT 21 now moves to the Senate. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
As a lending cooperative owned by farmers, Farm Credit Mid-America is committed to securing the future of rural communities and agriculture. That's why our customers have had access to agricultural loans, leases, and crop insurance from a lender who is focused on farmers' futures for over a century. Visit us online at fcma.com to experience what it's like to work with a lender who understands farmers' needs. Loans and leases subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
Attention farmers and equipment dealers. Are you tired of premature wear and tear plaguing your John Deere combine? Say goodbye to frequent replacements and hello to durability with meticulously crafted John Deere wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Eile uses superior metal materials to ensure extended wear for your combine. Their premium quality parts won't break the bank. Elevate your harvest season. Visit Eile Fabrications online. IHLEFabrications.com. Restore, protect, repair. Eile Fabrications.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here across the Hoosier State for Tuesday, today we're turning out cloudy with lingering showers up north. There's a very active northwest flow pattern coming around low pressure in lower Canada, northern parts of Michigan. This is producing a fairly active precipitation track across Minnesota, Wisconsin. We saw some of that come in early this morning in the pre-dawn hours over Michigan and northern Indiana. I think we can see a secondary batch of moisture trying to come through with this cloud cover later this afternoon and evening. Not a lot here, but we're talking not drying very fast. Few hundreds to few tenths is what the liquid looks like from I-70 north. You get south of I-70, I don't really think we have anything to talk about here. Clouds give way to sunshine for your Wednesday, but we're still on the cooler side of things. We are dry Thursday, we're dry Friday, and most of Saturday as temperatures moderate. The weekend then, or the latter part of the weekend, looks interesting. Saturday night through Sunday, I think we have to leave the door open to a few hit and miss scattered showers. More central and southern Indiana than north, but I'm not going to rule them out anywhere. And then we move into next week, and we see a lot more activity. Strong front trying to show up later Monday afternoon into Tuesday that could bring rain and strong thunderstorms. And then we see additional hit and miss scattered activity Tuesday night, Wednesday. And then by the time we hit Wednesday, Thursday, we should start to dry down, seeing a large part of the western United States activity free. And so we should be putting together a longer term dry window. But this upper Midwest Great Lakes a pattern with moisture trying to come across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and into southern Ontario, that doesn't seem to want to go completely away as we get outside the 10-day forecast window. So this is a bit of a conundrum here, trying to dry out nationally, but still stuck with this cooler air, moisture kind of setup in the Great Lakes and southern Canada. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
From the Farm Bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Monday Farm Market Review. No markets to review, though, during the daytime session Monday. Closed for Memorial Day. Opening back up with the Monday night session and then a full day of trade on Tuesday. The markets on Friday, when we last traded, were mixed with higher beans and steady corn and wheat markets. I caught up with Brian Basting for some comments. Brian is an analyst with Advanced Trading. Brian, Friday markets pretty quiet in both corn and wheat and some strength in soybeans. It was an up and down week, but money flow did seem to favor grains and oil seeds for a good part of the week. Let's start with soybeans, which ended fairly strong.
A lot of uncertainty about South America at the moment, Andy. We've got catastrophic flooding in the far southern state in Brazil, if he had ended to Sul. And there's a belief that the USDA will eventually lower their production estimate for Brazil. It's at 154 now, I believe. Next report's on June 12th. That number could come down because we are seeing some definite crop losses due to flooding there. The crop in Argentina is good, but not quite as good as what we thought earlier. So maybe we might get a small window here of some more export sales for U.S. beans going forward. I wouldn't call it a tremendous boost in exports, but maybe a little bit there. Psychologically, now we're getting into the last few days of May here, early June. We do need to get these beans planted. It looks rather wet, obviously, for the short term here. So that may give the market a bit of support, too.
Over in corn futures, seems like corn is probably a follower for the most part. Would that be an accurate assessment?
I would say to the degree that it's watching wheat at the moment. Wheat has been the leader because of the concerns about production, primarily in the Black Sea with some dry conditions. And the look at Russia, and we had all the freezing conditions earlier this month. So I think wheat is the leader. Corn is following. Corn at the moment, there's a point, Andy, when we get into June where we either get the corn planted or we don't. I don't think we're going to see a lot of decrease from the acreage in the March prospective plantings report. So there'll be a point here when you get further into June, of course, where rain becomes more negative. But for the moment, I still think we've got a little bit of psychological support from the fact that we may lose a few corn acres there. Interesting to watch China, Andy, at this point. They've snuck in here and bought a little bit of U.S. corn. Not a lot, but something to watch going forward. But you're right. I think it is a follower primarily of wheat at the moment.
And those production concerns that you talked about in the Black Sea area, those don't appear to be going away.
No. It's been extremely dry, for example, the last month in Ukraine. Now, Ukraine doesn't grow as much wheat as Russia, obviously, but it's important. And now it's becoming dry not only in Russia, which it has been for the last 90 days, but 30-day dryness in Ukraine has really increased sharply here the last week or two. So critical time for wheat. Wheat's on about the same growing schedule in Russia and Ukraine as it is here in the eastern Midwest. So as we move into June here, they need more moisture. And otherwise, you're going to start to see those crop estimates trim back. And again, I think as we move into June, if that continues, wheat could provide some support to corn going forward. Eventually, they'll go their different ways as wheat gets closer to harvest. But for the time being, I think corn is a follower of wheat.
The outside market influence on the grain and oil seed sector, equities, crude oil, the dollar index, has there been much of an influence?
I would say not as much now. They're always there. I never want to discount that. But as we get into growing season, of course, we're looking primarily at our growing season. But always macroeconomic factors are important. The dollar's kind of range-bound at the moment. It has come well off its highs that we saw back there at the end of April, early May, well off its highs, which is good for our exports. Going forward here, we'll be watching macroeconomic events. China-Taiwan is always something to watch, very important, as well as the Black Sea. So I think that there are secondary factors important to watch, but it's our growing season now as we enter the first through. Part of summer here.
Brian Basting, Market Analysis. Get Brian on the phone at 309-664-2314. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.